He has a microphone,
and he knows how to use it.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
All right, now 18 after the hour. Welcome back. Hey, you know me, right? I have a special love for the Blessed Mother. I really do. I've always had devotion to her ever since I was a young boy. And really, through the great grace of God, I was able to participate in helping to make the country and really the world in some respects aware of a phenomenon that was going on throughout history, throughout the history of the church. There have been reports of apparitions of the Mother of God. She's come often at times of great trial for humanity, before times of war and plague. She's come to remind the human race of the importance of prayer and of penance and of the need to return to her son Jesus. And that's the thing. That's what these apparitions ultimately serve to do. Not to draw attention to the Mother of God, but ultimately to point to her son. And today is, and I didn't even realize this, but it's the 80th anniversary of the apparitions, an apparition in Belgium. Bonneau is the place. And it occurred at a time when the world was in great economic turmoil. You know, you take a look back at the Great Depression. A friend of mine once raised a question, is it a depression or was it a chastisement? Because it was certainly accompanied by a very supernatural period where the Blessed Mother, starting around 1928 all the way up to 1971, would be reported at least 210 major, there'd be 210 major claims of apparitions of the Blessed Mother, along with many others that were considered minor and had not even been reported. And that number may even be off at this point in time, but major, major claims. Two church-approved apparition sites, Barang and Bonneau, in Belgium, are both unique, powerful, and very beautiful. They came prior to the rise of a great world war, and Our Lady came as a tender and, of course, loving mother. She came as the Virgin of the poor in Barang, and there in 1980, and I think it was 1933, she appeared during, you know, one apparition after a crack of thunder with a ball of fire that landed. Her apparitions would have a profound impact on the people there. Joining me today is an expert in Mariology, an expert on Marian apparitions. He's the founder of a great website called MiracleHunter.com. MiracleHunter.com. It'll take you through all these reported apparitions. Kind of a cool site, a real labor of love. And it's a delight to have back with me again, Michael O'Neill. He's also a member of the Mariological Society of America. And Michael, thanks for joining me. Thanks for reminding me about the apparition. I totally was off my radar.
Yeah, it's great to be back on, Drew. I think it's really exciting. It's the 80th anniversary, as you mentioned, and there's only been four Vatican-approved apparitions in the 20th century with Fatima, Barang, Bonneau, and Tobago in 1981.
Wow, that's amazing. So fill us in on Bonneau. Bonneau is a very... It's probably an unknown apparition to 99.9% of this audience here. Came at an interesting time in history. I always love these apparitions that precede these changes in society as we know it. I mean, there was the Depression going on. Of course, World War II was looming in the not-too-distant future there. What was happening in the world? Why did Our Lady came, and what was her message?
Well, believe it or not, Drew, the apparitions at Bonneau have a very... a typical message that permeates many apparitions, and that's just a call to prayer. You'll see that in apparitions such as Medjugorje and also ones throughout history. The call to prayer is huge. And there's a commonality in this one. She requests a chapel be built. There's a healing spring. There are conversions and this sort of thing. But really one of the interesting things about this one is that Our Lady calls each and every one of us to conversion. These apparitions are not just for the saintly, for the holy. I mean, there's been many apparitions to popes and saints, but there's also been apparitions to non-Catholics, to atheists. And in this particular case, it was to a very poorly educated and uncatechized 11-year-old girl who hadn't been to Mass in 2 months. She was doing poorly in her catechism class, and she had been skipping out on Holy Communion instructions. So really, this is a call to conversion for all of us.
Yeah, that's the message of all of Our Lady's apparitions, isn't it? It really is a gospel message. And that is it's something that people should look at. I know people can be unbalanced when they deal with apparitions sometimes. They can go to one or extreme or the other. They don't want to accept them. Or, you know, they look at this as it's, preeminent over anything else that's happening within the church. Share with me a little bit, who were the recipients of this? How long did the apparition actually last? How long did it go on for?
So the apparition started 80 years to today. It started on January 15th, 1933. And in this case, there was only one visionary. It was a girl named Mariette Becco. She was the oldest of seven children, and she was an 11-year-old girl. And she grew up in a family that really was not very pious. Her father, Julian, he had fallen away from the faith. Her mother wasn't very devout. And it all happened one night where Mariette was in her house, and she saw a little light outside her window. And she walked to the window and thought maybe it was her lamp reflecting in the window. And she moved her lamp, and then she stared outside. But then she saw a beautiful woman dressed in a long white gown with a blue sash, and she was barefoot in the snow, and she immediately called over to her mother, who said, "Oh, you're crazy," and shut the curtains and shut down the house and said, "Don't pay attention to that sort of a thing." The next day, Mariette went back to school and found the parish priest, and she told him, and like many people do in this sort of thing, says she's just emulating another apparition that happened, as you mentioned, a Barang apparition. Mm-hmm. So they told her just to pray her prayers. Well, the next day in catechism class, she was the star student of the class. Really, her faith was energized, and she studied all her lessons, and she really impressed the priest. And the priest thought maybe this is a possibility that these apparitions are really happening. On the very next day, similar time of night, she felt an urge to run outside and run around the house and drop to her knees in prayer. Wow. And her father saw this, and her father said, "This is not the type of thing we do in our house. You know, we don't pray typically." So when she picked up and ran to a spring and received a message that it was a healing spring, the parish priest came by, and her father converted on the spot. So there were conversions sort of from day one of the apparition. And then, you know, throughout the following days, appeared near the spring, and there were other conversions, and she was told to build a chapel on the place, and you know, there was just this call to prayer each time. You know, "I would like a small chapel built. Believe in me, and I will believe in you. Pray very much." These are the kind of messages that Our Lady gave to Mariette on that site.
That's kind of a message that I think we all need to be reminded of. That's for sure. When did the apparitions end, and did they never received formal church approval?
Well, great question there, Drew. So the apparitions spanned sort of the month of January. There were eight total, and then they took a short break, and then on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, she appeared again, and that's the day when Mariette actually received her first communion. So that was a very special day for her. Wow. And so it extended just a couple more days till March 2nd. That was the last day of the apparitions. And then there were a series of investigations, as typically happens with these apparitions. In 1935, the first commission was established, and they reviewed it, and they said that it was established for faith expression. And then another investigation came years later in 1937, and that investigation said, "Well, we're not so sure about these apparitions." But then a later investigation in 1942 finally confirmed the authenticity of the supernaturality of the apparitions. And wow. Later on, John Paul II actually went to the site and confirmed the apparitions and met with Mariette in person. And
really?
So these apparitions are truly confirmed by the Universal Church.
Such a Marian Pope, too. That's fascinating. I didn't know that. That's fascinating. I remember I did a documentary on weeping statues one time, and the Holy Father actually went to Syracuse, Italy, where there were reports of these of these lacrimations as well. And of course, that's a good sign. The Holy Father's meeting with the seer. Hey, Michael, I only have about a minute or two left, and I just want to plug your website because it is a great resource for anyone questioning apparitions or wanting to know more about them. Tell us a little bit about Miracle Hunter, if you could.
Sure. So Miracle Hunter has been a website that I've developed over the last 15 years, and it covers as many apparitions as I've been able to uncover. It has approximately 2,500 apparitions listed on the site, and you can go to the site, find out which ones are approved, which ones are still under investigation, and which ones have been given a negative judgment by the church. So hopefully it's the all-in-one stop for anything you want to know about.
Let me ask you a quick question, because I was going to ask you this before we came on the air. You may not be able to answer it. I had read a report from a friend of mine, Mike Brown, who talked about an apparition in the Amazon that has the approval of its local bishop. Was kind of under the radar. Are you familiar with that?
I am, and I believe Michael, through a connection, found that apparition through my site.
Oh,
so
good.
That was something that we just started getting into the last couple of days, but that's in Itaparanga, Brazil, and that's something that spanned the years 1994 to 1998, and the local bishop there has given it approval. So so that's kind of an exciting development that's been, like you say, under the radar, and you know, the messages seem to be continuing, including that approval. So that's kind of a very rare circumstance in the church where it's an approved apparition, and the apparitions are still continuing. So that's something to keep our eye on.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Well, Michael, thank you for your time. I always appreciate the good work that you do, and maybe we'll have you back. We can do a follow-up on that Brazilian apparition. I find that fascinating, for sure.
Great. Thanks a lot, Drew.
Michael O'Neill, folks, I need to take another break, and when we come back, of course, we'll talk more and change gears. One final thought, if I could, real quick, on these apparitions and how Our Lady appeared. 1933 and 1937, there were at least 14 cases of public apparitions. And you got to recall these Belgium apparitions we're talking about, they bordered Germany. 1933 was the year that Adolf Hitler was appointed the German chancellor. Also a year that the first concentration camps were erected in Germany. We know what happened. There were other portents. They all reached their peak in 1938, when those very famous northern lights were identified over all of Europe as kind of the great sign predicted at Fatima. Heaven's always reaching out to us, folks, giving us those signs. I'll be back.
Are you ready for a new career?